last year. Amen. Look over in, but I do appreciate those that have brought in some stuff. Appreciate this church's prayers and support, and I'm praying for you as well. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, a very familiar passage. I know we're still in the January of the new year, and I'm trying to provoke you to love and good works. Amen. Amen. Sunday school was trying to provoke you to do something for God, something this year different than what went on last year. It's not time to quit on God. It's time to get serious for God.
Amen.
As an individual, as a family, for you to do something for God this year, what are you going to do for Him, you know? Isaiah chapter 6, pray for my voice. I've been doing a lot of preaching lately. And when you're preaching on the street and you got 20 below winds blowing right in your mouth and you're preaching for a half hour to a multitude of people and you do that like, well, I've preached on about every day except Sunday for the last 3 weeks. Wow. Plus preaching in churches three times on Sunday and Wednesdays. And so it's a blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
Glory to God. Something for God. Amen. Amen. Don't want to be a muchunary like most so-called missionaries and just want to do something for God. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 and look at verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of his host. That's who you need to see.
Amen.
That's who I need to see. You ought to see the Lord high and lifted up like Isaiah saw him. The Bible says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Now, notice it says seraphim, not a cherubim. The difference between a cherubim and a seraphim, one of the differences is a cherubim has four wings and a seraphim has six wings.
Right.
Four faces on a cherubim, four faces on a seraphim, six wings on a seraphim, four wings on a cherubim. Good, just knowledgeable stuff for you to know. Everybody ought to know that. Amen. It is good stuff. It's good stuff. You ought to study them cherubims and seraphims sometimes. They're not angels. They're just angelic-like creatures. They're called creatures. Well, anyway, then flew one of the seraphims. I guess he could fly with six wings unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. What altar? Well, there's an altar. There's an altar in heaven. God takes altars serious. He takes that thing so serious that in Revelation chapter 8 and Revelation chapter 9, you've got a picture of God sitting on a throne, and right before His throne is a golden altar,
yes,
and coming up off that altar is prayers.
Amen.
And so the most important piece in this church is not the pews, it's this place where you pray to God. And the thing that gets God's attention and the thing that turns God's head and gets God to look at this church here this morning, the thing that will cause God to turn His head and look at this church this morning is what you put on that altar.
Amen. Amen.
And I can prove that with a Bible with hundreds of verses from Genesis chapter 8 to Revelation 8 and 9.
Amen.
So if you're a Bible believer, I'd do something with the altar.
Come on.
Like put something on it. You say like what? How about prayers? Amen. And so, that's just all free stuff, you know. It says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That's where most of your problem is with your tongue.
That's right.
It's a twofold thing. One, the things you talk about, and two, the things you taste.
Amen. Yeah.
That'll kill you. Things that kill a person is what they taste. They're overweight, they overeat, and they kill themselves with this fake food.
Amen.
And two, what you talk. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Your tongue will kill you,
yes,
one way or another.
Amen.
People don't eat food that tastes bad. They eat food that tastes good. It's how we get fat.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm here to help you.
Amen.
Is it true?
Preach,
and so, but he says here, notice he laid it on his, touched his lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord. Now here it is saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Very familiar passage. God, thank you, Lord, for letting us come into the house of God this morning and sing the sweet songs of Zion as musical instruments of men. Thank you, Lord God, for the offering that was taken up. Thank you, Lord God, for these that have come. not to hear from me, but thee, and I pray that'll be the case. Pray you'll help your people this morning, God, as they bow their head in their heart and ask you to do for them what I cannot, and that is to change them. Might it be a change? It'll show up when you come back and get us in a change. It'll show up for our good at the judgment seat of Christ, we pray one day soon in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Now in Isaiah chapter 6, 5 through 8, you notice here in verse 7, God gave a man victory. Amen. The Bible says, he said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And of course, what he did was he took that live coal from the altar and he touched this man's lips and he gave him victory. Amen.
Right.
Now let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're saved, God's given you victory.
Amen.
Amen. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Now it says, giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have victory right now through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have victory. You're not. If you're saved in here this morning, you're not going to die. You'll never die. Amen. Before you draw your last breath, you leave.
Amen.
And that thought, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
That Bible says Christ tasted death for every man.
Amen.
If you talk to people, and I do because I like to talk to people. I like to prove the Scriptures right. Amen. I believe them whether I can prove it or not.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you something. I like to do things, weird things, like if I find somebody that is in the presence of other, and I've watched a lot of people die, I'll say to them something like, I'll talk to somebody and I'll say, well, what was that like? And they'll say, well, it was like they weren't even there.
That's exactly it.
Amen.
Well, why is that? Because they left before it happened. Because God tasted death for every man. I cannot die. You cannot die. Before you die, your soul is loosed from the body of your death.
Amen.
That carcass can die. The worm's Amen. Going to cover it and eat it, but it's going to be resurrected with a body like Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
But you can't die. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
So you know what God's done? He's given you victory over death, and He's given you victory over yourself, and He's given you victory over your sin. He's already given you victory. So here's a man that God gave victory to, and I want to just talk a little bit this morning about simply what I've entitled. Now here it is, what God's looking for. You know, if you go through the Bible and you find places in the Word of God, and you find out that God is looking for some stuff, you ought to want to get in on that.
Yeah.
Now one of the things we know God's looking for is He's looking for worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. So God walks in and out of this church this morning looking for somebody that'll worship Him. Imagine that. You can give God that's given you so much, you can give Him something back. You say, what could I give Him? You could give Him worship. That means you could fall down before God on your face and say, God, Thou art God. Everything about You is right. Everything about me is wrong. I want to be right. I don't want to be wrong. Show me how I can be right with You. Amen. It's worship. In the Bible, by the way, an altar, the definition of an altar is a place of worship. And so if you're going to worship, you get on an altar. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But, you know, something else He's looking for besides worship, you find here, He's looking for workers.
Amen.
That's what He's looking for in this passage. And
yep.
So we're going to talk this morning about what God's looking for. Now, the word look is to seek, to search, to consider, to view. Isn't that interesting? To seek, to search, to consider, to view. So what is it that God's seeking after? What is it that God's searching for? Well, He's searching for worshipers, but He's also searching for workers. And here's a man that God gave some victory to, and because He gave him victory, you're going to see some things here in Isaiah chapter 6 and in verse 8. Now, the first thing you see here is He says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And said I, here am I, send me. The first thing He's looking for is a volunteer.
Amen.
Now, that's something that He can't seem to find anymore. You know what Isaiah did? He volunteered. You know what we need today? We need some volunteers. 2017's gone. 2018's here. You know what God's looking for this morning in this congregation? Some people that'll volunteer for service.
Amen.
Amen. You know what He wants? Volunteers. You know what God don't do? He don't force you to do anything. He's looking for somebody to say, I'll do something. You know what you ought to do? You ought to run to an altar, fall on your face, and say, God, I'll do something. Now, you probably won't, but that's what you ought to do. You ought to volunteer this morning to do something for God, something for Jesus Christ, for service for Him. You say, why? Because He's done so much for you. Amen. Amen. If He's done something for you, say amen.
Amen.
Now, what have you done for Him? You know what you could do? You could do this morning something that would just be profound, that would make Him turn His head and look at you. You could fall on your face on an altar and say, I volunteer. What do you want me to do? I volunteer. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen. Right. Now, most people won't do that, but that's what you ought to do. Look at Acts in chapter 9. Isaiah, in Isaiah 6 and verse 8, you know what you see with Isaiah? You see a man that volunteered. In Isaiah in chapter 9, I mean, it just in look over in Acts chapter 9, rather. Acts chapter 9, it just seems like the people that really amounted to something for Jesus Christ and the Word of God, that God seemed to have a lot of favor with, are those that volunteered. Look at Acts in chapter 9 and verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, you know, this is Saul's conversion, Paul, the one that wrote 13 books of the Bible. In verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, in other words, he's no longer his own Lord, he's got a new Lord. And his new Lord is Jesus Christ. He says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You say, what did he do? He volunteered. You know what Isaiah did? Volunteered. You know what Paul did? Volunteered. Look over there in Matthew in chapter 26. Matthew in chapter 26. I'm just talking about volunteers. You know what God's looking for this morning? Volunteers.
Amen.
I wish you'd volunteer to do something for Jesus Christ. He's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Matthew in chapter 26 and look at verse 39. The Word of God says this. It says, and he went a little further. That's what you need to do in 2018. You need to go a little further in your Bible reading, go a little further in your prayer life, go a little further in your soul-winning endeavors, go a little further as a Sunday school teacher, go a little further doing something for God. Amen. That's what Jesus Christ did. He went a little further and fell on his face. That's what you need to do too. Fall on your face. And prayed. We need to pray. Saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Look at it. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You say, what did Jesus Christ do? Volunteered. Amen. You know what you see back there in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8? Listen, you see Isaiah volunteer and saying, I'll do something. You know what you see in Acts in chapter 9 and verse 6? Paul says, I'll do something. What do you want me to do? You know what you see with Jesus Christ, God's Son, that's getting ready to become death, getting ready to become sin? The Bible says he became sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Bible says he became death. Amen. Bible says he became a curse. The one that's getting ready to become a curse and death, the one that's getting ready to become sin, you know what he does? He falls on his face and he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will.
That's right.
He volunteered. You know what? He volunteered to help you out. Now, when are you going to volunteer to help him out?
Amen.
Amen. You say, God needs my help. Are you kidding? Really? You know what God does not do, regardless of what these kooks on television say? He does not appear on planet Earth in a body 100 foot high.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Glowing in the dark and knocking on doors.
That's right.
Sorry.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, it's just that people are so crazy. Amen. You know what he needs? He needs volunteers. Why don't you volunteer for something for God this morning? I'll tell you, I mean, think about it. I mean, just volunteer to do something. What could you do? Could you preach? Could you teach? Could you go? Could you give? Could you go soul winning? Could you clean a toilet? Could you cut the grass? Amen. Could you be a song leader? Could you just be obedient? Could you do something for God? Could you start up the van, fire it up, go knock on doors and say, listen, I notice there's a swing set in your yard. I notice there's some bicycles in your yard. We'd like to pick up your children for church. Bring them here to church. After church, we'll bring them back home and drop them right back here at their step. And you know what you did? You did something for God. Why don't you volunteer this morning and do something for God? God's looking for some volunteers. And you know what? He can't find any.
Amen.
It's just something's wrong with that. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 again in verse 8. I'm just talking about something for God. You know, you and I volunteering to do something this year for Him. Volunteer. You say, why? Because that's what God's looking for. What God's looking for is a volunteer.
Amen.
Why don't you volunteer?
Amen. That's it.
Amen. He ain't going to make you do nothing.
Amen.
He don't push you. He don't beat you. He don't make you do anything. He wants some people that will volunteer. Why? You ever think about this? Why would a person volunteer for something? You know, back in the day when our military was worth something, I'll tell you what happened is men loved their country so much that they volunteered to fight for it.
Yes, sir.
If you study the Civil War, my soul, there was boys 16 years old that loved that piece of dirt that they lived on so much. They'd put cardboard in their shoes. They'd eat themselves, I mean, just half to death, trying to get up to weight. They'd lie about their weight and get up in cardboard because they just volunteered. They wanted to fight for their country.
Amen.
You say, why? Because they loved that dirt they lived on. They love their family. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, you know what? You love Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Then you ought to be willing to do anything to volunteer. Anything He wants you to do in this new year. Volunteer. Amen. You say, why wouldn't a person volunteer? They just don't care.
Amen.
Amen.
Preach, brother.
Apathy. They don't care. You know what? People come to church. It's their church. They call it their church, but they don't care about their church because they never get on an altar and volunteer to do anything for God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm here to help you. That'll help you. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Let me show you something else. I'm just talking about something. You and I, this year, what in the world? How can we get God's attention? How can we turn His head? What is He looking for anyway? Well, He's looking for a volunteer. And in Isaiah chapter 6 and in verse 8, you see God turning His head saying, I'm looking for a volunteer. And Isaiah sticks up his hand and says, I go.
Amen.
How about it? Isaiah 6 and verse 8 again. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You notice something else here. What God's looking for. What's He looking for? He's looking for a volunteer, but I'll tell you something else He's looking for. He's looking for a vehicle.
Amen.
Now, I know something about vehicles. I go through vehicles like clothes. If I could, when you do 80,000 miles a year, you can go through a vehicle pretty fast.
Yes, sir.
And 80,000 miles a year ain't much for a truck driver, but it's a lot for a preacher.
Amen.
And so, I go through cars, man. And I mean, in fact, in the last, I guess, probably 3 months, God's given me two more. I've not bought a vehicle for 21 years.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You say, why? Because I keep volunteering. Amen. God likes that.
Amen.
And when you volunteer to do something for God, God equips you with what you need to go do it with.
Amen.
But you know what God's always looking for? I get so convicted about this because God gives me so many vehicles through the years. And you know what? I need a vehicle to get around in.
Yep.
Can I just enlighten you? God needs a vehicle to get around in.
Yes, sir.
You know what God needs to get around in? He needs you.
That's it.
You know what you are? The Bible says this is what you're called. This is your description in the New Testament. You are, here's what you are. If you're saved, here's what you are. You are the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now think about that for a minute. Jesus Christ is called the head. That means He's the brains of the operation.
Amen. Thank God.
And yeah, you got that right. He's the brains of the operation. And you know what you and I are? The body.
Amen.
So you know what God needs as a vehicle to get around? He needs a body. You know what you are? I don't know what your favorite vehicle is. I'm an old school Chevy guy myself. I came up underneath them cars all my life, handing my daddy tools from 5 years old, 16 years old. I was working in a diesel shop, handing mechanics tools. Listen, that's what I do. Amen. I'm a preacher that still works on cars to this day. Amen. You say, why? I can't afford to take them to the crooks. Amen, in the garages. And, you know, the thing is, I know something about vehicles, and I know this. When I go out to get in my van after I leave here, here's what I would appreciate. I'd appreciate if it starts.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Counts for a lot. Amen.
You know what I like in a vehicle? Something that's dependable that I can count on.
Amen.
You know what God does every day of His life? He goes out to get in the vehicles that belong to him. If you're saved, every one of you is his vehicle.
That's right.
And he starts it up and it won't start.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he wants to go somewhere, but it won't go.
That's it.
You're God's vehicle.
Amen.
Amen. I like to liken myself sometimes to a 1970 Camaro Z28. Just a fast-moving vehicle. Well, I don't know what your thing is, what your vehicle, but you're a vehicle for God. You know what you are? You're God's eyeballs.
That's it. Yeah.
You're His ears. Yeah. You're His mouth. You're His hands. You're His legs. You are the vehicle of God. And you know what God's looking for? Imagine this. God that owns everything, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, it all belongs to God. And God's down here looking for somebody that'll volunteer to do something. And God's trying to get, He's down here looking for a vehicle that He can take someplace.
Amen.
A vehicle. God needs a vehicle this morning. Why don't you volunteer yours? By the way, it belongs to Him anyway.
Amen.
You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Amen.
A vehicle. In Mark chapter 5, 15 through 20, you've got the story of the maniac of Gadara. That's what they call him. You know what the maniac of Gadara did? Man, the Bible says Jesus Christ showed up. He went there. He fell before him. He cast out that legion of devil that was in him. And you know what the Bible says? He was clothed and in his right mind, right?
Right.
That's the maniac of Gadara. You know what the maniac of Gadara wanted to do? He got in a boat, followed Jesus Christ back into that boat because the city said, get out of here. We don't want you.
Yep.
He gets back in that boat thinking he's going to go with Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? No, you stay here. And you go back there to your village and tell them what great things God hath done for you. You know what he did? He sent him out as a vehicle to a place.
Yes, sir.
And when Jesus Christ came back across them waters, the whole city was waiting for him.
That's right.
Why? Because he took a vehicle back in there.
Amen.
Yeah. Called that maniac of Gadara.
Amen.
You know what God wants? To take you, his vehicle, some places that he can't go. You say, why? He needs a body. You say, why is this world going to hell? God's vehicles won't start and they won't move and you can't depend on them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm here to help you. Acts chapter 9, verse 20, a vehicle. You know what he did? Look in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. I think this is funny. In verse 20, the Bible says, of course, Saul here, he got converted, he got saved on the road to Damascus. In verse 20, it says, and straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. You know what Jesus Christ needed? He needed a vehicle to take into the synagogues to preach to them Jews.
That's right.
So he saved Saul, and you know what Saul did? Volunteered and said, here am I. I'll do it. I'll volunteer whatever you want me to do. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he volunteered, and God said, well, I need a vehicle to go to them religious Jews in the synagogue and save them. And Saul became a vehicle that went into the synagogues. How about that? Isaiah became a vehicle to go to the children of Israel. Saul became a vehicle to go to them religious Jews. That maniac became a vehicle to go to that city that hated God. Amen. And you know what? God's looking for a vehicle this morning in here, but you're going to have to volunteer it.
Amen.
You're going to have to volunteer it. And, you know, Galatians 5, 16, 18, and 21 is still in the Bible. Led of the Spirit, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Amen.
Right.
2 Corinthians 6, 16 is still in the Bible. And so God's looking for a vehicle to take to fairs, festivals, flea markets, street corners, soul winning, little children to bring them into the churches. Amen. He's looking for a vehicle.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you be his vehicle? Why don't you volunteer? Well, I'll tell you something else he's looking for in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. This is just good stuff. Isaiah in chapter 6 and verse 8. So simple that we miss it. A volunteer. Will you volunteer this morning? A vehicle. He needs a body. He's the head, but he needs a body. Head floating around just kind of scary, ain't it? Needs a body. In Isaiah 6 and verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You see, he looked for a volunteer. He says, who shall I send? Who will go? I'll volunteer. He says, I need to send you somewhere. He says, I'll be your vehicle. And he says over here, you notice in verse 8, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You notice a visionary. He needed somebody with a vision. Amen. The Bible still says over there in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. We don't need people with more of a vision for more possessions, more prosperity, more prestige. We need some people with a vision for people's souls.
Amen.
We need some people to get over. We need to get over us and move on to somebody else.
Amen.
And see, Isaiah's standing here and he says, I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that'll volunteer. He said, I'll volunteer. He says, I need a vehicle. He says, I'll be your vehicle. He says, I need somebody that's got a vision. He says, I'll. Now, why is this man so interested in doing something? Because God gave him victory and did something for him.
Amen. That's right.
And God's done something for you and gave you victory, and you ought to say, man, how can I get in God's eyesight? How can I turn God's head and make God look at me? Well, I could volunteer. I could say, God, I'll be your vehicle. I'll go anywhere you want me to go and do anything you want me to do.
Amen.
And God, give me a vision so people don't perish. They're going to hell headlong. I mean, they're going to burn. Most of this world's hellbound with a hammer down, and God's people don't care. They don't have no vision.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if you ain't got a vision for your own home and your own home's a disaster and don't even resemble Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form, how are you going to get a vision for the house of God? Really? And how are you going to get a vision for the heathen that are lost and on their way to hell? I'm just saying, here's a man that volunteered. He said, I'll be your vehicle. And he says, give me a vision. And if you'll ask God for a vision, he'll give you a vision.
Amen.
A vision of what? Poor little children going to hell with a perfectly good van sitting out back that could go pick them up. But people too lazy to be God's vehicle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's how it is. And you know, here you are in this place where a lot of mamas and daddies are dope heads and drunks and just want a babysitter.
Yep.
And all God needs is a vehicle to go get them.
Amen.
But God's people won't be a vehicle.
Yeah.
Something's sad. Something's wrong. It's an epidemic plague all over this country. You say, what is? Listen, nobody will volunteer. Nobody will be his vehicle. And nobody's got a vision. The only vision they've got is right here. I'm going to buy this for me. I'm going to go there. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to live for me, love me. It's all about me. No, it's not about you. It's about the one that died for you so you can live. Now he's waiting for you to die to self so he can live through you.
Amen.
What is he looking for? What's God turning his head looking for? He's looking for somebody else. I'll go. I'm a volunteer. I'll be your vehicle. Give me a vision. And he did it for them. A visionary, you know. You know, you think about John chapter 4, 28 through 30. Look at Romans in chapter 9. Romans in chapter 9, verse 3. I'm just talking about a vision. These people that volunteered, these people that became his vehicle, you know what they all have in common? They got a vision for somebody.
Amen.
Look in Romans in chapter 9 and verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You understand what kind of statement he said? He said, I'd go to hell if these Jews would get saved.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's a vision.
Amen.
He said, I wish myself accursed. Are you serious? That's some vision. I mean, who amongst us go to hell for somebody else?
Amen.
Hmm?
Preach, brother.
Something's wrong. But you know what you find out with all these folk that volunteered and became his vehicle? God gave him a vision. And he didn't want them Jews to die and go to hell. Well, Isaiah chapter 6 and in verse 8 again. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You know what he's looking for? God's looking for a volunteer. He's looking for a vehicle. He's looking for a visionary. And then he's looking for a voice. Just a voice. You know, that's one thing most of us can do. We can be his voice, his mouthpiece.
Amen.
You know what you can do? You can run your mouth for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You run your mouth for everything else. Everybody talks about everybody and everything that they shouldn't talk about. Why don't you talk about Jesus Christ? He's worthy. Amen. Amen. Worthy of talking about. I'm just saying, He was looking for a voice. You know, all throughout the Word of God, it's a glorious thing. Look in Psalm over there in Psalm in chapter 81, Psalm 81. I'm just talking about a voice. What God's looking for? Well, He's looking for a voice. Looking for a volunteer, looking for a vehicle, looking for a visionary. Psalm 81 and verse 10, the Word of God says this, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now look at it. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it.
Amen.
You know what God said? I brought you out. I delivered you from Egypt, a type of the world. He said, now open your mouth and I'll fill it.
Amen.
Well, that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it?
Amen.
You know, look in John chapter 1. You know this one, John chapter 1. And over there in John in chapter 1 and verse 21, everybody talks well about, you know, John here. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? You know what his testimony, John the Baptist's testimony of himself was? Verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as he said, as said the prophet Isaiah. You know what he said? He said, I'm just his mouth. I'm just his voice. And that's what you are. Amen. You know what God needs? A voice. You know what he needs? He needs somebody to open up their mouth and wake up some people that are going to hell, because nobody knows that they're going to hell. America's done a good job of trying to erase the memory of God. Amen. Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God, they're forgetting about God because nobody will open up their mouth and tell them about God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just saying, what's God looking for? I mean, what's he looking around? I mean, can you imagine it? God walking around and he owns everything and everybody and he's walking around and he's looking for something. And man, if you walked up and said, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for a volunteer. You know where any are?
Amen.
I'm looking for a vehicle that's dependable so I can get around in it. I'm looking for somebody that'll get a vision, get their eyes off themselves and get their eyes on somebody else. Amen.
Amen.
I'm looking for somebody that just has a voice that'll talk for me. That's what he's looking for. And he can't find it in most of our so-called, don't make me laugh, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches. Should I puke? That's what God does when he thinks about the church.
Amen.
He says, I would thou art hot or cold, because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. When God thinks of the state of the church, his stomach gets upset and he pukes.
Amen.
You say, why? Nobody will volunteer.
Amen.
None of his vehicles are dependable. Nobody's got a vision except for themselves. Nobody will be his voice. Amen. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, Philip climbed up there to that Ethiopian eunuch, and the Bible says, and he opened up his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. Guess what he did? He opened his mouth.
Right.
Voice. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for a voice. Well, I'll tell you something else he's looking for in Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Us, you know. He's like, he's looking over there at the Son, he's looking at the Holy Ghost, and he says, hey boys, who's going to go for us?
That's it.
That's right.
I'm going for the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. So are you if you'll go.
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you what he's looking for. He's looking for a valuable body. Now, most bodies ain't very valuable to him. He's looking for one that's valuable. You say, what is a valuable body? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's one that he considers valuable because it'll give. He can give through it.
Yep.
Now, most people take and don't give. Look at Luke in chapter 7. Luke in chapter 7. And over there in Luke in chapter 7 in verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Now you notice something about this woman. You say, what was she? She was a valuable body. You say, why? Because she gave through it.
Amen.
She gave through it. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 25, a man gave through his body. Acts chapter 16, 14, and 15, they gave through their body. We talked about in Sunday school, a little lad, he gave through that body. The disciples gave through their bodies. He said one time to them, Peter came to him and said, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. Amen. You know what they did? They gave through their body. They were a valuable body. Amen. It's what is God getting out of you? What's he getting out of you? Huh? I've gotten, so far, 100 almost 80,000 miles out of that vehicle.
Amen.
The last one that blew up on me, I got 230 some thousand out of that vehicle. What's it getting out of you, vehicle?
Amen. Amen.
Has he ever gotten anything out of you? I know you take rides in yourself for yourself, but when's the last time you took a ride in that vehicle that belongs to God for somebody else?
Amen.
It's what God's looking for. He's looking around for a volunteer this morning. Why don't you volunteer this morning? Say, God, I'll be your vehicle. Give me a vision. I'll be your voice. I want to be a valuable body. I'm tired of being a loser for Jesus Christ. Don't you ever get tired of that?
Amen.
That's how I feel about myself daily. A loser for Christ. You say, why? Because think about what I've gotten from Him versus what I give back to Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you something else He's looking for. A vacancy.
Yes, sir.
You know, it used to be in my early travel days, the old hotels had vacancy thing in it, and it flashed. I still like them old hotels. They got thicker walls, amen. They're built better, amen. I like them old hotels, not dives and dumps, but just older stuff. And anyway, vacancy. He's looking for somebody that's got a vacancy. Let me ask you something. You got a vacancy this morning for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
They didn't have one for Him when He came into this world. They put Him in a manger. No room for Him. Nothing's changed. There still ain't no room for Him in most bodies. No room. No room. Well, a vacancy. Ezekiel 22:30 talks about that. Tell you something else He's looking for. Somebody that's very interested. You know what you find about Isaiah? He's close enough to God that He can hear Him.
That's it.
How about that?
Amen.
See, when He said, you know, who are we going to send? Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah was close enough to hear the Lord speak. And so when the Lord spoke, he spoke back to God. That's what church is supposed to be. You come into church, God is supposed to speak to you. You're supposed to run to an altar and speak back to God about whatever it is that God spoke to you about. What did He speak to you about? Did He speak to you about volunteering? I mean, here it is. Listen now, 2017's long gone. 2018's here. God today is going in and out of the pews of this church this morning, and you know what He's looking for? Somebody that'll volunteer.
Yes, sir.
Somebody that'll say, I'll be your vehicle. Somebody that'll say, man, give me a vision. I just want to do something for you, and that'll turn your head. And that's what He's looking for. God's looking for something this morning. He's looking for a voice. He's looking for a visionary. He's looking for a valuable body. He's looking for a vacancy. Somebody will say, you can abide here. Come on, start this thing and take it anywhere you want to take it.
Amen.
Amen. You've heard the stupid bumper stickers. God is my co-pilot. How stupid is that?
Yeah.
You know, someone said one time, what you ought to do is you ought to get in a trunk of the car, hand the keys to Jesus Christ, get in the trunk of the car and shut it from within, saying, now take me anywhere you want to take me.
That's it. Amen.
Amen.
You say, what would that do? Well, it's what God's looking for. It'd get God to look at you.
Yes,
isn't it interesting the Bible says over there in Psalm, He says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. So, you know, you get the idea that God's got His eyes on something that's precious. And it's when you'll just die to self and say, God, I'll do something for you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He was very interested. He was close enough to hear what God's looking for. I'll tell you what he's looking for after he gets a volunteer and a vehicle and a visionary and a voice and a valuable body that's a vacancy, that's very interested in God's work instead of what your own thing, your own life, interested in God's life. I'll tell you what he's looking for after all that. You know what he's looking for then? He's looking for victims.
Yes, sir.
Victims. You know what this world's full of? Victims.
Yes, sir.
Victims of sin. Victims of self. Victims. I mean, victims that have been, beaten and robbed of this world, and they're miserable, and they're ready to blow their brains out and hang themselves and jump off of a bridge, amen. They're doping themselves into hell. They're drinking themselves into hell. They're going to hell headlong. They are a victim of the devil. Amen. And I'm telling you, if God could get some people that'll say, I'll volunteer to be your vehicle. Give me a vision. I'll be your voice. I'll be a valuable body. Here's a vacancy. Come on, move on in. Let's go. Amen. You know where God would take you? He'd take you on a course looking for victims.
Amen.
And there's plenty of them. There are plenty of them. I discover them all the time. Victims, victims, victims. I've knocked on doors of people's houses where they were getting ready to hang themselves. I was staying on an Army base one time, a Navy base in Norfolk, Virginia one time. A car pulled in, and it pulled in about 2 in the morning, and I was just being nosy. I couldn't sleep. I'm up on the third row of this thing in a Navy base, and I'm looking down, and I noticed the car pulled in, but nobody ever came out of the car, and I watched. There was only one person in the car. So finally, after about a half hour, I thought, I'm going to go see if the fellow needs help. Maybe he's just too drunk to move or something. And so I go down these two flights of stairs and go down to this guy's car and I knock on the window. The guy's sitting there with a gun underneath his leg and trying to get up the guts to blow his brains out. You say, what was he? A victim.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I told him of Christ.
Amen.
And he got saved.
Amen.
See, God just needed a vehicle that night to go down them flights of stairs to go to him. He just needed a voice to tell that guy there was hope.
Amen.
You know what Ashland's full of? Victims.
Yes, sir.
You know what Ashland ain't too full of? Volunteers.
Amen.
And vehicles. And voices. And valuable bodies that'll be a vacancy for their Lord. Heads are down, eyes are closed. God talk to you. You can come talk to God about whatever it is God talked to you about. Come on now. It's time for you to come to an altar and talk to God about whatever it is that God talked to you about. If God didn't talk to you, you don't have to worry about coming to an altar and talking to Him. But if He talked to you, you ought to come to an altar and you ought to talk to God about whatever it is God talked to you about. Now, what did He talk to you about? Heads are down, eyes are closed. What did God talk to you about? Let me ask you something. When's the last time you volunteered? Every one of us ought to be on the altar this morning saying, God, I volunteer. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. God, I volunteer to go wherever you want me to go, do whatever you want me to do. I want to have part in whatever you want me to have part in. I'm volunteering. Here's a volunteer. That's what God's looking for. That'll turn God's head. A volunteer. Will you volunteer this morning? Will you? God's looking for a vehicle. Will you be His vehicle? Why don't you come and say, God, here's a vehicle. Here's one that's all tuned up and ready to go and you can take someplace and do something. Oh, where would those Gadarians, where would they have been if there wouldn't have been a vehicle to go back into that city and reach them? Where in the world would have Israel done without a prophet like Isaiah to warn them? What about them Jews that Paul just become a pestilent fellow, telling them the truth of God's Word because God sent him as a vehicle into the synagogue? Ashland needs some vehicles. Ashland needs some voices. Ashland needs some valuable bodies. They need some people that'll be a vacancy for the Lord Jesus Christ because there's victims that are going to hell. And you know what? 2017, you might not have turned God's head too much, but you can turn it in 2018. You can start volunteering this morning. He done a lot for you. He volunteered to go to Calvary and shed his blood for you, and you won't volunteer to go do something for him? Are you serious? Really? He volunteered to leave the third heaven, seraphims and cherubims around about him, 24 elders throwing crowns at him, heaven ringing with praise of holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You know what he did? He left that third heaven and volunteered to come down and become a curse for you. And he looks out over congregation through the eyes of his preachers and sees a bunch of people that won't volunteer to do anything for him. You wonder why he pukes? Yeah, that'd be it. Do you even care? Well, this church ain't got much of a future. With a state of apathy, of I don't care, what hope does this little church have? You might as well shut her down. Really? There's other churches you can go to. I mean, if you're not going to get no vision, and you can't volunteer, you can't be a vehicle, what's the sense in it being here? There's meeting places all over the place. Really? I'm here to help you. Think. It's true. How's this church different than any other church? God, sink these sayings down deep into the hearts of your people. God, help them to not recover from it. Help them to bother them and bug them and irritate them and agitate them. You said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It ought to prick us in the heart. Pray it'll prick your people in the heart, God, to provoke them to love and good works. Dismiss us with your blessing. Please bring us back tonight, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.